Eu quero ser. Quero ver. Oh, mulher. Não, aí não, se vim para um vitite na auditório fui e disse dos filhos, disse, eu quero ser na auditório, slow down, mas isso vai para o trip. E se me trouxe aqui, eu era, we are students and for students, sometimes they experience, they got up this stage, already distinguished students, yeah. So, should I, could you raise hand actually, the people who think that I have to speed up? Oh, good. Slow down? Okay, good. Anyway, in respect for coming to court, I am supposed that I would be following this, but I would try. Okay, good. So now let's go to Friedman equation. Okay. Let's see how equations which I wrote before are modified in general relativity. So the equation which was nothing more than gravity plus second Newton law was looking like this one, minus 4p g divided by 3 energy density and scale factor was here, right? So the only modification of this equation in general relativity is due to the presence of the pressure. Because, as you have seen, energy momentum tensor in fact creates Riemann curvature, as you understand, and pressure enters on the same foot in this energy momentum tensor. Therefore, here the only modification to this equation which comes is the appearance of the pressure here. So it means that pressure contributes to the gravity as well as energy density. Now, what happens with second equation? Second equation was like this one, minus 3 A dot over A, energy density. This was double constant. By the way, this equation follows from any I, non I equal K, equation, Einstein equation, where I and K are special indices. So it's 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3. All these equations give the same equation. So now, what is this? This is clearly energy conservation law. Therefore, in general relativity, it follows this is covariance derivative from this equation, T alpha 0, 0. And of course, this energy conservation equation also, what is this? In hydrodynamics, is nothing more than just first hydrodynamic slope, So, which tells the dE, change of the energy in the given volume, of radius r, which is proportional to scale factor, is equal minus pressure dV. So, the change of volume. If there is no entropy, no change of entropy, etc., then this is the first law of thermodynamics. Now, energy within the given volume is proportional to energy density multiplied by R cube, and R cube is proportional to A cube. Volume is proportional just A cube. So take this thing differentiated, and what you would get? You would get precisely this equation, but here you would get epsilon plus P. And it's all. So the other modification, which is the presence of ultra-intrinsic fluid, is like this. Of course, this derivation should not be taken seriously. Because you understand it's heuristic things which just assume to help you. And the real justification that this equation precisely follows from this conservation law in general relativity, and this conservation law, for those who know, is as a consequence of Bianchi identities to Einstein equation. Now, what could you do? You could take, for instance, this equation, even in Newtonian theory, multiply it by A dot. A dot is velocity, right? And then find the first integral. In the case when pressure is equal to zero, it's just normal first integral, which would tell you kinetic energy of the expansion plus potential energy, which is negative, is constant. Here, you are given as exercise, you multiply it by A dot, use this conservation law, and then from here, these two equations, after integrating, you could find out that h squared plus k, or plus e at the beginning, I will write, no, fc divided by A squared is equal to AB G divided by 3 epsilon. And this valid for any pressure. You see, you just use these two equations to derive it. What is C? What is H? H is, of course, A dot over A. It's Hubble constant. What is C? C is the constant of integration, which can be arbitrary here, in principle, if you don't care about general relativity. If you care about general relativity, you have still to take so-called 0-0 Einstein equation. You see, which, in principle, so-called constrained equation. And what this equation will tell you? This equation will give you the same thing, but just it will fix you the constant of integration here to be equal k, where k could be 0 plus minus 1. So, what 0-0 Einstein equation does for you in this case? First of all, it fixes you integration constant, and second thing, it introduces you geometry. Because if you would take these two equations in special relativity, the geometry is always here. But in general relativity, of course, geometry becomes dynamical object, scale factor. In Newtonian theory, you could multiply by the same number, equations will not change. So scale factor in special relativity or in Newtonian theory is the things which you could rescale in flat space. But after you go to general relativity, the scale factor in the case k plus minus 1, okay, it becomes a kind of geometrical notion. And only when k is equal to 0, yeah, this term disappears, and the whole thing, scale factor here can be multiplied by the same number, nothing changes. You see? But when k is equal to 0, then of course scale factor could be redefined again by the choice of the, by the appropriate choice of these common coordinates. I think I forgot to include me, but I think I speak slowly enough for no people. So, okay, good. Now, this is so-called Friedmann equations, what people call. And now, from this equation also, we could see how matter determines the geometry. And in which case we have, as a surface of constant time, geometry of flat space, closed space, or hyperbolic space. To see how actually it happens, let's take this equation and rewrite it a little bit. So k squared, k divided by a squared could be written down as 8pg divided by 3 energy density minus 3h squared divided by 8pg. Yeah, so I did nothing, just took this thing and brought it in the right side. So you understand that this is, this quantity has the same dimension as energy density. And this quantity, 3h squared divided by 8pg, people call critical energy density. It's the energy density associated with the kinetic energy of the Hubble expansion. And then you see that the sign of curvature is in fact determined by the ratio of the energy density of the matter, which we measure today, to the critical energy density, which characterizes the rate of Hubble expansion. And to characterize, okay, the relation between these two energy densities, people are introducing usually what they call cosmological parameter. You see omega. In principle, okay, this quantity depends on t, this quantity depends on t, and cosmological parameter defined like this one is also a function of time. Only in one case, it's not the function of time, when omega is precisely equal to zero, or energy density is precisely equal to the critical energy density. Now, you see from this equation that if omega is larger than one, then what we have? This term is larger than this term. And k should be positive. So in a case where omega is larger than 1, you have more matter, then actually, or how it's called, gravitational energy is exceeding kinetic energy of expansion, universe is closed. This is an ambiguous state. In a case when omega equal to 1, you see these two quantities cancel each other and universe is flat. And in a case when omega is smaller to 1 than 1, so there is not enough matter in the universe, the geometry of the universe is hyperbolic at the given moment of time. Now, it's clear that if omega was larger than 1, then it can net become smaller than 1. Therefore, there is no, of course, problem with the change of the geometry of the universe. From this equation, it follows that if, because it's constant k, then if omega larger than 1, then it always remains larger than 1. Now, of course, what people measure at present, they measure Hubble constant at present, and they measure total energy density at present in a different possible ways. And they determine cosmological parameter omega zero, which, okay, is nothing more than the value of this cosmological parameter at present moment of time. Now, prediction of inflation that this omega zero should be extremely close to 1 with the accuracy 10 minus 5 in the observable scale and will remain close to 1 at least for next 100 billion years. For this next 100 billion years, we cannot measure the things, but we can find what is it today, yeah? Now, how universe evolved? Usually in the old textbook, and not only old, but some new one, people tell that if universe is closed, then it expands, gets the maximal point, and then recollapse. If universe is flat or open, then it will continue expansion forever. But this is this statement they do. Why? Because they consider always equation of state P is equal W epsilon, and they consider W larger than 1. In fact, the future fate of the universe depends on the value of this coefficient of proportionality, and let me show you how this coefficient of proportionality determines the total picture of the universe evolution, assuming that this W is constant, because it could change also in principle. The equation of state could be more complicated. But let's just consider for simplicity the case when W is constant, and let's consider different possibilities. So let's consider evolution generically. And after that, I will go to the particular most interesting models of the universe. But you would know at least. So evolution W epsilon. And this thing is constant. So let's solve equations. Primary equation. Let's begin with this conservation law equation. So which I would rewrite in the form d epsilon is equal minus 3 epsilon plus p d log a. So I did here nothing, of course. I just wrote this thing as d epsilon over dt, and this thing I wrote as d log a over dt. Okay, took dt out. So it's just differential form of this equation. Now, in the case of this equation of state, I could write that this equal minus 3 var plus w d log a. There, okay, this total thing is constant, and I will denote this coefficient alpha. From here, it follows that energy density is proportional 1 divided by a in power alpha, where alpha is equal 3, 1 plus w. Now, when w is equal to 0, then alpha, of course, equals 3, and epsilon is inversely proportional to the scale factor cube. So it's inversely proportional to the volume. Mass is conserved in this case. This is simple statement. Now, when w is equal 1/3, it's radiation. Equation of state, then you get alpha is equal 4, and energy density is proportional 1 divided by A4. Why A4? Because you see, energy density in this case, for instance, is determined by the photons. So the number of photons is conserved. So the number of photons, number density of photons is dropping down inversely proportional to scale factor. But every photon is also redshifted, as we will see. And because of this redshift, we are getting that energy density is dropping down like this one.
It's epsilon, right?
Huh? Here?
No, on the epsilon.
Yeah.
Where? Here?
So where you introduce the alpha.
Yeah.
On the right, this should be alpha times epsilon times beta.
No, okay, so here should be epsilon. Yeah, here should be epsilon. Right. So now, if I would take W is equal to minus 1, it's so-called cosmological constant case, then you understand what you could get. If it's constant, then it's constant. So you see from here that alpha is equal to 0, and epsilon remains constant. And if you would take one case, okay, W is equal to minus 1/3, what you would get in this case? You would get in this case that epsilon is proportional 1 divided by a squared. You see? Why minus 1/3 is important? Let's look at this equation. If pressure is larger than minus 1/3 energy density, then combination epsilon plus 3p is positive, right? So positive number, and acceleration is minus, so you have really deceleration. In this case, gravity acts as decelerating force when pressure is larger than minus 1/3 energy density, or when epsilon plus 3p is larger than 0. And epsilon plus 3p larger than 0, okay, this condition has a special name, okay, and you know, this name is strong energy dominance condition. And all theorems about singularities are proved under full requirements that this strong energy dominance condition is fulfilled, basically. Now, also in this case, in the border case, when epsilon is smaller than minus 1/3 energy density, then this combination is negative. So you have minus here, minus here. And minus gives plus, right? So it means that second derivative or acceleration is positive. And in the case when epsilon plus 3 is negative, or W is smaller than minus 1/3, you have accelerating universe. So gravity in this case acts like anti-gravity. You see? And what you have so-called inflation. It's a basic idea of inflation. But in the case when W is equal to minus 1/3, energy density is dropping like 1 divided by a squared. And now compare this term, okay, when it's 1 over a squared, with this term. And then you see that because here they are scaling in the same way, so it perhaps should be the border which determines, okay, different kind of the evolution of the universe. And in fact, let's consider the case when W is larger than minus 1/3, or epsilon plus 3p is larger than 0. It corresponds to alpha larger than 2 in this formula. Yeah? Epsilon is 1 divided by alpha. So energy density fast drop enough, drops fast enough. So now write equation h squared plus k divided by h squared is equal 8p g over 3. Then epsilon 0 is okay, energy density at present, a 0 over a in power alpha, a 0 also scale factor in present. So when a is equal to a 0, then energy density is equal to epsilon 0, right? Or it's a constant A divided by A alpha in power alpha. Now, first of all, let's consider limit when A goes to 0 in this case. Which term could be neglected? This one compared to this one or this one? When alpha is larger than 2. It's clear that when alpha is larger than 2, like 1 divided by A cubed, then when A goes to 0, then 1 over aq become much more important than 1 over a squared. Clear? Therefore, when a goes to 0, in the all three cases, k is equal to 0 or plus minus 1, yeah, you could neglect this term which is related with the curvature, and then your equation is simplified like this one, a dot over a squared is equal a divided by r divided by a in power alpha. Yeah? Now this equation can be very easily integrated. Yeah, and you are getting from here that in this limit, in all three cases, scale factor is proportional to t in power 2 divided by alpha. So it's a in some t in some power, and this power is smaller than 1, because alpha is larger than 1. You see? And of course, if you would differentiate this thing twice, and alpha was smaller than 1, then you would get that second derivative of scale factor is negative. Now, what will happen later when the universe is expanding, expanding, and expanding? Then, of course, by the way, here also, alpha is equal to R3 for dust, right? And therefore, for dust scale factor is proportional to T in power 2 third. For radiation, alpha is equal to 4. And therefore, for radiation, scale factor is proportional to square root of time. You see? Now, when k is equal to 0, then these solutions are exact solutions of the equations. Because I got, okay, these kind of things, of course, in this limit, just neglecting these two. Now, what will happen when r is large? In the case when a alpha is larger than 2. When r is large, then I could rewrite this Friedman equation in the following form. H squared is equal to a divided by r alpha minus k divided by a squared. And it's clear that if this term, when it was needed, nevertheless it drops faster than this term. Therefore, when k is positive, clear, when k is positive, k is equal to plus one, there is some moment of time when these two terms, yeah, if you would draw them like this, one term is dominating here, it drops down like this one. 1 over a squared was negligible here, but it decays so far. So there is some moment of time, okay, where these two terms become equal. But at this moment of time, Hubble constant becomes equal to 0. So what does it mean, this thing? It means that gravity will stop the equation, and the universe will start to contract. When k is equal to 0, or when k is equal to minus 1, this moment of time just doesn't exist here. Therefore, generic evolution of the universe, okay, here is scale factor, here is time. In the case when alpha is larger than 2 or epsilon plus 3 pressure is larger than 0, is the following. You begin somewhere here, for instance, for the closed universe. Then closed universe reach maximal radius of expansion, and closed universe recollapses symmetrically. So it's k equal plus 1. Now, in the case of flat universe, so in the case of open universe, expansion continues forever. You see? It's like hyperbolic and parabolic motion. So this thing which corresponds to hyperbolic thing, parabolic things, and this is hyperbolic. You see? Now, of course, also we know that in the vicinity, when A is very small, all these three solutions, okay, asymptotically coincide with each other. You see? But now here, if I would take k equals 0 case, it corresponds to omega 0 today is equal 1, of course, from this formula. Yeah, wait, it's from here. Then you understand that this k equals 0 is not attractor for the other solutions. Moreover, if you want to remain on this curve, you have at the very beginning fixed initial condition with high precision. Otherwise, if you are not very careful, either you would go like this one or you would go like this one. So for a very long time, it was actually the problem which was called flatness problem. You see? Because here you needed really to precisely fix energy for the given energy density, initial velocities, if you wanted to stay on this curve. Now let's consider other case, namely case when the universe is filled by the matter with broken energy dominance condition. So the case when alpha is smaller than 2. Second case, B. Or it corresponds W smaller than minus 1/3, or if you want, epsilon plus 3P is smaller than 0. It's clear that for cosmological constant, this condition is satisfied, right? So what happens in this case? First of all, you have A2 dot larger than 0. So it means that this is the case of accelerated expansion when gravity acts like anti-gravity, effectively. Now, it's clear that A proportional, it's clear that in this case, let's compare these two terms. Which term is dominating, where is this equation? Yeah. Which term out of these two is dominating when A goes to 0? Clearly, this term, right? If it exists there. So it's opposite case. Therefore, when scale factor is very small, three solutions for closed universe, open and flat, should be very different. But when A is very large, in the opposite asymptotics, which term is dominating? This term is not dropping. When alpha is smaller than 2, this term is not dropping as fast as 1 over A squared. So here situation is opposite to the situation which I have drawn here. Therefore, at large A, A is large, we have equation A dot over A squared in all three cases is equal A, approximately, of course, if it's not this, A alpha. Solution is the same scale factor is proportional to T in power 2 divided by alpha. But in this case, alpha is smaller than 1. So you have scale factor, for instance, S increasing proportional to T in power, okay, which is larger than 1. Second derivative positive, as it should be. So this kind of expansion is called power law of inflation, where this coefficient 2 divided by alpha is larger than 1. You see? Now, of course, okay, I wrote solution for large A for all three cases. So how the curve scale factor as a function of T will look in future, but not in past. So let's assume that this was the flat case. This was, for instance, open case. And this was the closed case. So you see, in the case of accelerated expansion, in future, when scale factor is growing, all these three solutions go together. So in accelerated universe, K equals 0 case is a future attractor. This is the reason why inflation, which is nothing more than just accelerated expansion of the universe, solves the flatness problem. Because finally, it doesn't matter from which initial conditions you started, it increases separately kinetic term, separately potential term, the total energy is conserved. Both of the things become tremendous, and in fact, actually, the universe becomes practically undistinguishable from the flat universe. But this I will repeat, you don't worry, if you don't understand right now, so it's not a big problem. So now, if you would consider case here when W goes to minus 1, then alpha here would go to what? Alpha would go to 0. And you will get T in power infinity. What is T in power infinity? It's, of course, exponent, as everybody knows. Yeah. So in this case, you are getting exponential solution. OK, you don't need to trust me. I will derive it, yeah. But which is called the Sitter universe. So now, let me summarize. You see that the cosmological parameter omega unambiguously determines the special geometry of the universe at the given moment of time. Okay, if you foliate this universe with hypersurfaces, time is equal constant to be equal equivalent energy density constant. But the future of the universe and the past depend on the matter quantum. If matter satisfies energy dominance condition, then the closed universe will start to expand. Then gravity will try to decelerate this expansion, will stop universe, and universe will recollapse. If strong energy dominance conditions don't satisfy, then gravity acts like anti-gravity. You could start with any universe, and the gravity, you could start even with zero velocity, the gravity will accelerate you to the velocities which you need. In this sense, there is big difference between pre-inflationary cosmology and inflationary cosmology, because in pre-inflationary times, people were thinking, who gave to matter all these incredible velocities? Because what gravity could do, gravity could just decelerate the expansion, you see? It was the problem of Big Bang. Now, in inflationary cosmology, you don't need to care because gravity will do this job for you. You could start with zero initial velocities, and then gravity will accelerate you till tremendous velocities, and after that, if you would succeed to go to the normal gravity, you could solve the problem of so-called origin of these initial velocities. Now, let me spend I still just begin with now let me actually go to so-called exact solution of this Friedmann equation in few interested cases, yeah, which will be useful in future in application. Some of them more useful, the other are less useful. You know that like all people are equal, but some more equal than the other. So all these solutions I will use, not all, but some of them actually, to explain observational data and some just to demonstrate certain points. Let me begin with so-called Milne universe. I don't know, you know what this is or not. It's the most trivial case, okay, which is imaginable. So, Milne universe. So let's consider case k is equal minus 1 and energy density is equal to 0. So empty universe. But you know that if you would take Friedmann equation, then in this case it will take the following form. H squared minus 1 divided by H squared is equal to 0. And from here you would find that A dot squared is equal 1 or scale factor is equal t. Correct? Non-trivial solution for empty universe with the following metric. Ds squared is equal to tt squared minus t squared d chi squared minus plus sinus hyperbolic squared chi d omega squared. So people call this metric Milne metric or Milne universe. The reason, in fact, Milne didn't invent this thing, yeah? In the form of metric. He just was unhappy with curved space-time, therefore he was thinking about expanding cloud of particles which has no weight in Minkowski space, yeah? Now, you understand, non-trivial geometry, energy density is equal to zero, by the way, spherical symmetry, there should be no gravity weight. So how it could be that you got non-trivial solution in a case when you would expect only Minkowski space as a solution? The answer is clear that this is nothing more than just Minkowski metric written in some locally Minkowski metric written in the other coordinate system. So let me show you what is this. So let's write Minkowski metric in the standard form. Yeah? So but now instead of T, I use for normal Minkowski time, okay, the notation tau, because T I reserved for cosmological time. Minus dr squared is flat metric in spherical coordinate minus r squared d omega squared. So begin with this metric and then make coordinate transformation. Go from Minkowski time t to time tau, from time t to time tau to time t, and from air coordinate go to high coordinate. And coordinate transformation, okay, we will define like follows. Tau is equal T cosine hyperbolic high, and R is equal T multiplied by sine hyperbolic high. Now let's differentiate this thing, okay? And then we will find that d tau squared minus d high d r squared is nothing more than just dt squared minus t squared d high squared. So you see, you got precisely this part of the metric. And r is equal to t multiplied by sine hyperbolic squared, therefore this last term also reproduce this last term in this metric. Now, is it really Minkowski space Milne universe or not? No, it's not Minkowski space. It's locally Minkowski space because this Milne coordinate in Minkowski space do not cover the whole Minkowski space. How to see this? Okay, let's draw the line of constant. The line of constant coordinate. Okay, in tau r plane. So it's tau, and here is r plane. Yeah. So this is Minkowski space. It goes from here to here. Now, what is the line h equal constant in this plane? So you see, if you would take tau divided by r, then you would get cosinus hyperbolic high divided by sinus hyperbolic high. So this is constant for constant high. So constant high lines here are straight lines, okay, which goes like this one. So it's high equal constant. And all these straight lines goes only until light cone. This part of Minkowski space is not covered by this coordinate. Now, what are the lines time equal constant, t equal constant? So, okay, here, take tau squared minus r squared, so cosine hyperbolic minus sine hyperbolic give you 1, so t squared is equal r squared minus tau squared, yeah? Or, no, tau squared minus r squared. So it means that this line of constant time are like this one. You see? So these lines are the line of constant time. T is equal constant. So constant cosmological time. And of course, Minkowski space is four times more than just so-called Milne universe. Now, why we could use Milne universe actually as an useful example to learn something simple about simple confusions. You see, what is this Milne universe? You could think about these particles or about this line as a geodesic in Minkowski space without Webb reaction for the particles which originated in some place and were sent with all possible velocities in all directions. So what is this universe? It's some cloud with the initial center which expanded in the external time. So in this case, the universe has a center. You see, and when people speak about big explosion of the universe, a big bang, they keep in mind that also something exploded in one point that was expanded somewhere. It would be the case only if it would be Milne universe. Why? Because in Friedman universe, you can never make the embedding like this one. Friedman universe, if you would add in Milne universe a little bit more particles, then they would form singularity here, and this part of the space would not exist. There would be no external space, and it would be wrong to think about Friedman universe with the matter as about some cloud which is expanding somewhere. You see? So this is so-called misconcept which is used by all journalists when they think about explosion. They think about explosion which happens somewhere in outer space. But there is no outer space in normal universe. Here, there is center, there is outer space. Now, second thing. Phi I equal constant are geodesics. Why? Because you could look. What is this? It's straight line, so it's like particle which is moving in Minkowski space with constant velocity. Clear? Now let's calculate Hubble speed for all for some of these particles with constant height. What is Hubble? What is the relative velocity? It's a dot over a multiplied by distance, or it's a dot multiplied by height. Yeah, it's velocity. Height is coupling distance, and r is equal a multiplied by height. Now, and h goes from zero till infinity in open universe. So what you got for Hubble velocities here? You got that Hubble velocities are just equal h, coordinate and constant. But h can be larger than 1. So it looks like Hubble velocities could be larger than 1, and of course the particle could propagate with the speed larger than the speed of light. But of course it's scratch, as you understand, because these are so-called Hubble velocities, which are not well defined. In curved space, you would define relative velocities only for two particles which are close to each other. Otherwise, where particles are far away from each other, you have to think about usefulness of your definition of relative velocity. Because here, you could see that there is no larger than the speed of light propagation. The real speed is r divided by tau. And r divided by tau, what is this? It's always sinus hyperbolic height divided by cosine hyperbolic height. So it's tangens hyperbolic, which is always smaller than 1. In Minkowski space, all the particles move like they should be. In cosmology, when there is no this kind of Minkowski space, okay, you could perhaps not bring so simple argument that the velocity which you are defining should be the right velocity. And when people speak about inflation, like about universe which is expanded with superluminal, okay, speed, about a causal explanation, yeah, of all this origin of cosmological perturbations, in distinction, for instance, from cosmic string or what those words, they are, of course, making wrong statement, because any universe which we are considering right now is not a causal thing, and it's not propagation or expansion with the speed larger than the speed of light. So some velocities could be like this one, some could not be. Now, one more lesson. We have to distinguish here, obviously, that we have to distinguish four-dimensional curvature from three-dimensional curvature. Because here we speak in the universe about hyperbolic universe. What does mean hyperbolic universe? It just means that hypersurfaces like this one have geometry, okay, which is the same as geometry of hyperbola. But in this case, all curvature invariants, four-dimensional curvature invariants, are equal to zero. And of course, what is important? Important is the geometry of space-time. And geometry of space has relative importance, relative why? Because here we could draw some kind of preferable foliation of the space and then speak about this geometry of this preferable foliation. The other example, yeah, where, for instance, geometry of this kind of surfaces is flat, but for geometry is not flat, is the case of flat universe filled by the dust. You see, so you have, when you speak about flat universe and flat space-time, as I told you already, you have actually clearly understood this. Why it's possible in this case to have two Friedman universes which describe precisely the same space-time? And why in all other cases, when we have matter, it's impossible to use two metrics, okay, k equal plus 1, minus 1, and 0 to describe the same space-time in different coordinate system. Because here we have extra time translational invariance. You see, when we are determining or taking the hypersurfaces, cosmic time is constant in Friedman coordinate, we keep in mind that the energy density along these hypersurfaces is the same everywhere. You see? Therefore, if energy density would be changing this time here, so energy density here would be 1, here 2, 3, etc. then we would be forced to take these surfaces as a constant time hypersurface. But if energy density everywhere is the same, then you could use, okay, hypersurface like this one. It will be also energy density constant hypersurface. And here, because also of topology, and because of this extra time translation invariance, you are getting possibility to describe the same universe or the same space-time using two different coordinate systems from the same class of Friedman coordinate system. What would be the next example when you could use different coordinate system just to describe the same space-time? In the case when we have non-trivial universe where there is matter. What do you think? There is only one possibility, of course, because in Minkowski space-time, energy density is equal to zero, nothing happens. If you want to have time translation invariance in the other space during expansion, then, of course, energy density should not change. And when energy density doesn't change, for which equation of state, pressure is equal minus energy density, correct? Because in this case, energy epsilon is constant. And therefore, okay, in this case, also you could expect that all three coordinate systems, or two coordinate systems at least, which are of Friedman time, could be used to cover the same space-time. Correct? And moreover, and this is so-called De Sitter universe, which has the same symmetry group as Minkowski space, so it has extra time translation invariance. And let's check just that in this case, let's find solutions. And let's check that in this case, we have three possible cases, k equal plus k0, plus minus 1, but this is nothing more than just coverage the same space-time with different coordinate system. And also, at the same time, I will introduce so-called notion of conformal diagrams, yeah? Which is, by the way, extremely simple, but you know that when you start to learn what is this in a certain age, it becomes disaster. It's like linguistics. I tell you. No, I had actual experience with very distinguished people. So this simple thing is just impossible to understand, to explain, yeah? In spite of the fact that... And also, by the way, it's also trivial. That's it. So... So now let's go to the De Sitter universe. De Sitter universe. By the way, De Sitter discovered this solution in some other coordinate system, not in coordinate system which I will use right now. So he discovered it in some coordinate system which looked like inverse black hole, so like quasi-static solution. He discovered also that the particles, they are moving or accelerating away from us. Yeah, so you could say that he discovered that there was expansion of the universe for this probe particle. And also you could say that the first inflationary model appeared in 1917. Not because of Russian revolution, it was also not in Russia. I mean inflation in universe, not in economics. Yeah, good. So let's go to this. So pressure of vacuum is equal minus energy density. So, of course, okay, I just will you write once more this equation. Lambda, let me write lambda, because it's a cosmological constant. Lambda is equal minus 3 epsilon lambda plus p lambda d log a. This is equal to 0, of course. Therefore, from here it follows that epsilon lambda is constant. Now, let's use this equation for the second derivative, yeah? So it will be a2 dot is equal minus 4pg over 3 epsilon plus 3p a. Now epsilon p is equal minus epsilon, epsilon is equal constant, therefore I could write this thing as 8pg. So you see the sign here from minus went to plus, divided by 3 epsilon lambda. This, the whole thing is constant, and I will denote it as h lambda squared multiplied by a. So what I got? I got equation A2 dot minus H lambda squared A is equal to zero. Here's nothing more than just harmonic oscillator equation. Yeah, inverse harmonic oscillator, which has solution A is equal C1 exponent E, or not, no E, plus H lambda T plus C2 exponent minus H lambda T. Good. What about these two concepts of integrations? If there would be no general relativity, just Newtonian said, you could take it as you want. But in general relativity, I told you, this is not everything what you have. You have also concept of integration of the integral of this equation. Yeah, so it's Friedmann equation, and this constant should be related somehow with curvature. So take this solution. Now, you know that it's for sure a solution also of H00 Einstein equation, of this equation with H squared, where it was H squared, which I was solving there. And then substituting this solution in 00 Einstein equation, you would find that for H lambda squared C1 C2 is equal to zero, no, is equal to k, where k could be zero plus minus one. So you see the concept of integrations becomes restricted. Now first case, k is equal plus one. What is this? Clearly, both of the things should be positive. Moreover, you can take them to be equal. Why? Because you understand that here, in principle, you could shift time by t0, okay, and also t0 here. Then this coefficient will be multiplied by h0 lambda t0. And this coefficient will be divided by the same number. So you see, you could always take the different definition of the origin of time, or the beginning of time, how's called, change the rescaling of these two things. Change the ratio. But the product should be given. Therefore, let me take the simplest case when C1 is equal C2, and from here it would follow that it should be equal 1 divided by 2H lambda. And solution in this case, A will be equal 1 divided by H lambda squared. There, when you have sum of two exponents, sum of two exponents divided by two, what is this? It's cosine hyperbolic, yeah? Cosine hyperbolic h lambda t. Now k is equal zero. Either c0 or c1 should be equal zero. If you would take C1 to be equal zero, then you would get scale factor, which will be decreasing. So you would find flat universe, but contracting flat universe. But let me restrict myself only by expanding flat universe. In this case, scale factor, of course, has no absolute meaning, has no absolute renormalization, and it is just proportional to exponent H lambda T. You see, now, case K equal minus one, here, they have to have opposite signs. So you just take them to be equal in magnitude, and you would get difference of two exponents divided by two is sine hyperbolic square. So in this case, A is equal 1 over H lambda, no, without square, sorry, sine hyperbolic H lambda T. So you see, you got three solutions just given cosmological constant. And all these three solutions describe, as you could suspect, the same universe, and the metric in general looks like this one. Looks dt squared minus 1 over h lambda squared. Then here you have sinus hyperbolic squared h lambda t. Here you have exponent 2h lambda t, and here cosine hyperbolic h lambda t. This is scale factor, which is multiplied by the line element d cos squared. And here you have also Okay, they think like this one. You have sine hyperbolic squared chi, chi squared, and sinus normal squared chi, d omega squared. So it's metric k equal plus minus 1, k equals 0, and k equal plus 1. So you see, I wrote here all three metrics together. So this upper line is for the open, the Jupiter universe, middle line is for the flat, and down line is for closed the Jupiter universe. Now, how scale factor is looking, how it's changing actually on the diagram A as a function of T. Clearly, for flat universe, it's like this. It's exponent. K equals 0. For closed universe, its cosine hyperbolic also comes like this one. For open universe, it comes like this one. It's sine hyperbolic. But you see, in future happens what I said to you. All these three cases goes to the flat case because one of the exponents just dies here.
And there's something I didn't hear, which I think you said. In the case k equals 0, you said we have to take expanding?
I want to take expanding, but you could take also contracting if you want.
There's no reason not to take contracting.
Yeah, you could take. You will see that actually if you want to complete the whole thing, then you can make it in from two matches. But okay, let me say it a little bit late. So, but of course, here also, scale factor at k equal minus 1 universe is equal to 0. So you could think that perhaps there could be singularity here, but on the other side, it's non-reasonable thing because nothing is changing in this universe. So singularity in this case is nothing more than just coordinate singularity, you could say immediately, because all of the invariants in this universe stay the same. And this kind of evolution is some kind of evolution of coordinate system up to a certain extent. Of course, as we will see on the scales larger than the event horizon scale, you could not find coordinate system which is static everywhere. But nevertheless, in a certain sense, actually, this evolution is, okay, non-evolutionary. Now, let me show you that these three cases are really the same cases. Because what I got is still not convincing, right? And let me do the following thing. Let me show, in fact, okay, that these two cases are the same cases. And I will just tell you about third case, and I hope you will trust me without formulas. So, to do this thing, let's rewrite metric in a little bit different form using what people call conformal time. Oh, like this. So let's introduce conformal time, which will be very useful, by the way, later. And I will repeat it again and again and again. Conformal time according to the following formula. Dt squared, let's write as scale factor d eta squared. And eta, okay, what is called conformal time, because from here d eta or eta is equal integral dt divided by a. Why this conformal time is useful? Because metric, okay, in this case, Friedman metric takes the following form. D eta squared minus d chi squared minus phi squared chi, which could be, okay, one of these three functions, depending on the case, d omega squared. You see why it's called conformal? You see, because we brought metric, if you would forget about this part, to so-called two-dimensional conformally equivalent to Minkowski metric, yeah? Now, why it's useful for the sitter? Because for the sitter, I could rewrite, I could actually understand the relation between coordinates better. So, what is closed the sitter? Closed k equal plus 1, the sitter. Okay, in this case, you could take this cosine hyperbolic, scale factor, substitute here, and then find the relation between eta and tau. And then you would get that cosine hyperbolic h lambda t is equal minus 1 divided by sine eta. And here, eta is changing from minus p till zero. So you understand that physical time or Friedman time is changing from minus infinity to plus infinity. This conformal time is changing just in the interval between minus pi and zero, because you understand that when eta is equal to minus pi, then this thing is infinite. So it's also mapping of this physical time, which is infinite, on some kind of finite range. You could do it always, actually, as you know, with sine, cosine, or tangent hyperbolic, yeah, or tangent normal. Now, metric of closed the sitter in this case takes the following form. Ds squared is equal to 1 divided by h lambda squared sinus squared eta. And here you have d eta squared minus d chi squared minus sinus squared chi d omega squared. You see? Where chi is changing in which interval? Because of sinus here. From 0 till p, and eta is also changing from 0, from minus p to 0. So in these coordinates, you could draw the whole picture of this inner space in a very easy way. What is this? This is just box. Okay, so here is eta and here is chi. So chi goes from 0 till p, and eta goes from minus p till 0. And the whole space in these diagrams is covered, okay, by this quadrant. And this is what people call conformal diagram of the sitter. The lines eta equal constant look like this one. The lines chi equal constant, or constant moving coordinates, look like this one. How does light propagate on this diagram? Yeah, light is propagating. For light, you have for radial light propagation, forget about this kind of, but yeah. Then for light, ds squared is equal to 0, so from here you will get that eta is equal chi plus constant, plus minus chi plus constant for light. So light on this diagram always propagates under angle 45 degrees. So when you draw conformal diagram, you have to keep in mind two defining properties of conformal diagram. Light is always propagated at the angle 45 degrees on conformal diagram. And conformal diagram has finite size. So you have always actually to map infinite coordinate to some kind of finite range. When people draw conformal diagram of fancy distances, they don't care about it. When Hawking and Davis, they published their book, they didn't care about 45 degrees. Therefore, I can give you as a problem, find the number of mistakes in the book by Hawking Harris, yeah, conformal diagram in the last edition, and compare with the number of mistakes in conformal diagram in the previous edition of the same book. Because you know that this thing, actually, conformal diagrams were invented by Carter and Penrose. And these kind of things, actually, how people draw them. I heard from Carter, who really was furious about these conformal diagrams in Hawking Harris book, because there is really many mistakes there. Of course, everybody makes mistakes. I also have mistake in exercise number one. So therefore, what for a homogeneous. Yeah. But it's okay. Now, let's go on. Let's make now coordinate transformation for this metric. And let's go from coordinate eta and chi to the new coordinate eta tilde eta bar chi bar, which are determined in the following way. Eta bar will be equal to sinus eta divided by cosinus eta plus cosinus chi. And chi bar will be sinus chi divided by the same combination, cosinus eta plus cosinus
chi.
And then we take this new definition, express d eta and d chi in terms of d eta bar and d chi bar, yeah? Substitute in this metric, and then what you will get as a result, you will get metric ds squared is equal 1 divided by h lambda squared, eta squared, the bar squared, d eta bar squared minus d chi bar squared minus chi bar squared d omega squared. And now take this metric for the flat universe, introduce also instead of physical time, conformal time, and what you will get? You will get precisely this metric. So I demonstrated in conformal coordinate, explicit coordinate transformation, how to go from one metric to the other. But the next question, which you could ask me, of course, how these coordinates, eta and chi, are changing, for instance, when I draw them in this plane, at a high plane. Because coordinates for the closed universe, by the way, they change in the finite interval, but coordinates for the flat universe, they change in infinite interval. Yeah? So what could I do? I could take eta bar is equal constant to be any number, and then ask how, okay, this constant r, how this eta as a function of chi or chi as a function of eta things look like. And then what I will find that eta bar surfaces is equal constant look like this one. You see here, by the way, there is actually the tangent to this line, then go like this one, and then becomes like this one. And when eta bar, eta bar goes to zero, so scale factor goes to infinity, this line approaches this. But then, if I would consider the whole range of change of this eta bar, then what I would find that all these lines cover only this part of the diagram. You see? And this part of the diagram is not covered by the lines eta bar is equal constant. Okay, when I ask question which line is covered by chi bar, then you see the things they are very similar. You would find that chi bar lines look like this one, is equal constant. So from here, from this coordinate things, coordinate relation, you understand that flat coordinate cover only half of the whole de Sitter space. Strange, but nevertheless, it's simple coordinate transformation, as you see, that the whole manifold is not covered by the flat coordinates. Therefore, flat de Sitter coordinates are incomplete coverage of the de Sitter manifold. If you would take open coordinate, okay, you could also write very simple relation, by the way, because I just don't want to spend time. And then what you would find that open coordinate cover even smaller piece of this de Sitter space. They cover only this little piece of the de Sitter space. So it's 1/8 of the whole de Sitter universe, which is covered by open coordinate. Now, these boundaries are not, okay, real boundaries, no singularities, because here scale factor is equal to infinity. Here also scale factor is equal to infinity in the closed coordinate. So here universe begins with infinite scale factors and contracts. Here scale factor takes the minimal value, okay, here for the closed universe, and then it continues to expand. Now here, what happens? Here the lines of constant time are like this one. You see, because as I told you already, here there is translational invariance. The only thing, when you draw these surfaces, okay, with explicit symmetry, like sphere or pseudosphere, that energy density should be constant along these hypersurfaces. But you know that here energy density is constant because energy density is everywhere the same. Here the surfaces of constant time are like this one. But you know that when time is growing, growing, and growing, then of course all these surfaces again becomes exceedingly flatter, flatter, and flatter. And close to this boundary of the de Sitter, you see, this coordinate system becomes practically indistinguishable. You know that this biggest part of the whole diagram refers just to this little period of the evolution. Yeah, and the most of the time, practically infinite time, okay, is all concentrated here near these boundaries. You have to think about it like this one. You see, and the most relevant part, for instance, of De Sitter universe, which you could use for cosmology, is located somewhere here. And you can forget about the rest of the things because you have to use just little piece of De Sitter to produce universe like you observe today. Therefore, when people say that they want to study all these symmetries, for instance, for De Sitter, because they want to help inflation, etc., inflation doesn't need this help. Because here there is no galography, there is nothing, there is all local physics. And this local physics has also something to do with De Sitter, but not too much to do. Because if you would take De Sitter, it would always stay De Sitter, as you understand. Who wants to live in De Sitter? You want? No, perhaps me too. And therefore, you have to make transition to Friedman universe. How can you make transition to Friedman universe? If it's constant, you could do nothing. Nothing is changing. Therefore, you have to spoil a little bit De Sitter invariance. You have to allow a little bit to change things here. And when you allow things to change, then finally you could produce from this big De Sitter, or not De Sitter even, I mean piece of the De Sitter, Friedman universe, and you can have graceful exit to Friedman universe. You see, therefore, don't overappreciate the role of De Sitter. De Sitter as useless for inflation as no De Sitter. Only De Sitter with spoiled translation invariance, or De Sitter as zero order approximation to inflation is useful. All these kind of states, quantum states and De Sitter boundary problems, they are not so relevant, as I would say, for real inflation. And also the difference between flat, open, and closed coordinate system also is not so relevant, in spite of the fact that you could do the things in all three coordinate systems, but I said that they become exceedingly close to each other in this most relevant part of the De Sitter. Now, okay, I had still 10 minutes, okay, and this during 10 minutes, I don't want to go to propagation flight, but I will tell you about two other cases of exact solution of Friedman equation, yeah? For 10 minutes, okay, and now already people are tired. So, because just I want to compare one of the conformal diagrams, yeah, for all these solutions with this De Sitter. This is the Sitter case. So, let's consider radiation-dominated universe, and let's obtain dust and radiation-dominated universe, and let's obtain solution of Friedman equation. How Friedman equation look like? It's Hubble constant squared, yeah, h over a squared plus k divided by a squared is equal 8p g over 3 epsilon. So we have to solve this equation, yeah? But before I will solve it, I will do two tricks, yeah? So this is the integral of the so-called second-order differential equation. Instead of using this integral, I will do stupid thing. Really, I differentiate it again and return to this equation, but using new type. Why? Because the equation which I will get will be equation for harmonic oscillator, as you will see. And I like always actually this illuminating thing. So let me go first from t to time theta, which is integral dt over a. And let me use instead of this derivative with respect to conformal time, which I will be denoting by strik. Strik means d over d theta. And of course, d over dt is nothing more than just 1 divided by a dA. So then, let me substitute this thing and let me differentiate this equation once with respect to conformal time. So, and I will differentiate it like this. What I will get? I will get equation when I will use conservation law. You could derive it, by the way. A2 prime plus kA is equal 8pg over 3 epsilon minus 3p a cube. You see? Why this equation is remarkable? If you would take pressure equal to zero, then energy density is inversely proportional to A cube, and on the right-hand side stands constant, right? If pressure is equal to epsilon over 3, then this term disappears at all, and you are getting harmonic oscillator. Just for k equal plus 1, and etc. Therefore, you could easily find solution of this equation. How does this solution look like? I want to write this solution, scale factor, as a function of conformal time only for the case of closed universe. So for a case of closed universe, k equal plus 1, pressure is equal epsilon over 3. What I am getting as a scale factor? As a scale factor, I am getting A is equal AM, maximal scale factor, multiplied by sinus theta. So as a function of theta, scale factor looks like this one. And here, of course, theta is changing from 0 till P. High in closed universe also is changing in the range from 0 till P. So how a conformal diagram of radiation-dominated universe would look like? Here eta and here high. It would be again square. You see? But here scale factor would be equal to 0, therefore there would be singularity. Here also scale factor would be equal to 0, also singularity. Universe would be expanding, reaching maximal radius and recollapsing. But the remarkable thing is that this conformal diagram, besides of these boundaries, looks precisely the same as the De Sitter diagram. You see, and here in the De Sitter space, people speak about horizons, the structure of the horizons, event horizon, or conformal structure, or particle horizon should be both the same in both cases. Again, concerning all these holographic ideas, how to distinguish these two cases? You see, they geometrically look precisely the same, but they correspond to completely different cases. Okay, good. I needed perhaps to give this lecture one suspense was here. Okay, good. Now, what is the difference in the case when I have what is the solution in the case when k is equal plus 1? Yeah, but I have pressure is equal to 0. You could find yourself, okay, as an exercise, also home exercise from this equation. And plus, you have to use in this case, by the way, to fix the concept of integration 0, 0 Einstein equation. Don't forget about it. You will find yourself that scale factor is equal, in this case, AM divided by 2, 1 minus cosine eta. You see, this constant appeared because for the case when pressure equal to 0, this is harmonic oscillator equation, but in the right sense, side stands constant force, yeah? Now, here, eta, in which interval is changing? This is the most important thing. It's in the interval between 0 and 2p. Correct? Correct. So, in this case, the diagram of this space would have different form because high would be changing again from 0 to p, but eta would be changing from 0 till 2p. So this size of the diagram would be twice larger than this size. And you could ask me what kind of consequences it could have. Interesting consequences, because you see here, you send the line from the origin. Light is propagating along geodesics, yeah? And comes here on the opposite side of the universe, because it's opposite side of the universe, precisely at the moment when the universe recollapses. Not big fun. Here, because here, actually, this thing is twice larger than here, light you send here is propagating like this one, reaches the opposite side of the universe at the moment when scale factor takes the maximal value, then universe starts to collapse and light comes to us back. Light always propagated here at the angle 45 degrees, you see? So it means that I can send signal in closed universe and then before collapse at the origin, yeah, before collapse I will get this signal back. It will make one so-called universe round let's call it round world, round universe trick, yeah, and will come to me. Moreover, this has the other consequence that, for instance, if you have some galaxy, then because in some sense, at a normal time, this universe lives longer, you could see two images of the same galaxy. One is coming from here, and the other, okay, is coming after this kind of universe round trip. So, in a case when pressure would be equal to zero, then you could see, for instance, you could look on two opposite sides on the sky and could see two images of the same galaxy, in principle. It all sounds fantastic, of course, it has nothing to do with reality, because the universe is not like this one and not like this one, so don't look for these images. Okay, don't waste your time. Okay, so it's today, it's all.